All right, let me begin by reading verses 18 through 20 at the end of chapter 33. Jacob has just gone to Sukkot. Now, let me just point out over here that this is Israel, and at the point in which he's going to Sukkot, it's somewhere over in this area, which would be modern-day Jordan. He hasn't crossed over yet, but he's heading over to this area. And so when we read in verse 18, "Now Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Cana, when he came from Paddan Aram and camped before the city. He bought the piece of land where he had pitched his tent from the hand of the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money." It's a funny way to say it. "Then he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel." Jacob basically has been over here. He's been serving with Laban, and he's gotten his four wives. He's now got 11 children to his name. He's confronted Esau when he crosses over the Jabbok River, and now he is making his way to this top circle here, which if you were to come up closer, you would see that it is called Nablus, which is the modern name of it, but is actually the biblical city of Shechem. And just so you know, this is deep in what we refer to, or what the media refers to, as the West Bank. This is, once he gets there, he does something very interesting. He buys a piece of land, and this is the second parcel of land that has been bought in the Holy Land. Can anybody tell me what the first one was? The Cave of Machpelah, which is right down here in Hebron, and that was purchased by Abraham. And if you were to go to Hebron today, you would need bodyguards and a contingency of Israeli soldiers around you. And if you were to go there, you would find a mosque and a building built over the original site of the Cave of Machpelah. Half of it is controlled by the Jews. The other half is controlled by the Muslims, because they both claim Abraham as their father. And it's a highly, highly contested piece of turf today. Can anybody remember where the third piece of land was purchased? The little red circle, which would be the one David bought. The threshing floor of Runa, Jerusalem. So he didn't buy the whole city of Jerusalem, but he bought what is today the Temple Mount. Now, I want you to sort of take note of how those three pieces of land were the three that were purchased by Abraham and by Jacob and by David. And if you were to go to Israel today and go on a tour with me, I can guarantee you this: we won't be going there. And we won't be going there. We will be going there, but I'll have to make sure you don't go to certain places. Why? Because lo and behold, the very three places that the Bible clearly indicates that the patriarchs of Israel purchased legally are the three greatest hotspots in the land. They are still the hottest contested. Whenever you turn on the TV and you see all of these uprisings and things, 9 times out of 10, it is going to be in one of these three areas. Now, as of late, because of the pullout down here from the Gaza Strip, there's been a lot of action down here, but all of that is getting ready to shift back up there. Why is that important? Because it just shows you that nothing has changed, that the battle of yesterday is the battle of today. I don't know if I've ever told you the story, but I have actually been in Nablus once. In the summer of 95, I had come all the way up here to the Galilee, and you usually either you go up the coast and you come over, or you come down here to the Jordan Valley and you go this way, skirting the area, which is really quite interesting because this is the modern area. If you can see on the map, it says Samaria. And if you remember reading in the New Testament, there were times that the disciples with Jesus would have to do the same thing. They would have to go out and around. Sometimes they would pass through, other times they would go out and around that particular area. But I had been up in the Galilee, and I decided I was going back to Jerusalem, and I decided I wanted to see the mountains of Israel. I wanted to see the mountains of Judea, which is deep in the West Bank. And so I don't even know what road I ended up on. But I decided, you know, closest way between two places is a straight line. So I found a highway that looked like it was going south, and it went right through Nablus. And this is a Palestinian, 100% Palestinian-controlled city. This is the headquarters of several of the terrorist organizations. And back in 1995, there were all sorts of roadblocks and everything. And I'll never forget pulling up, and there were high-rise buildings on each side of me. And I'm in a rental car that is an obvious Israeli rental car because it has a bright yellow tag and all the Palestinian vehicles had blue tags. And I'm stuck in a traffic jam waiting to go through this checkpoint, and I am crying out to God, Lord, okay, I know I'm not a child, but I am a fool, so please send your angels, you know, to get down here and help me. And what really freaked me out was there were these two big trucks right in front of me, so I really couldn't see anything. I just felt like the whole world was closing in on me. And of course, at one point, the road had gotten so small that people were riding by on donkeys and, like, you know, looking in at me and glaring at me. And it was just, I was just completely freaked out. But eventually this Mercedes-Benz pulls up to my left, and he's got his windows down, and he's just, you know, yelling, you know, and going on. And I'm like, I'm sorry, no speaky the Arabic, you know, you know, whatever, no hablo Arabic. And he said, he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. He goes, this is crazy. We have to go through this every day. He goes, but why you wait? Go ahead. You can go. And I'm like, there's two trucks in front of me. No, they will move. I'm like, they can't move. They're, he goes, no, they will move. And I'm in a little Punta, okay? It's like a little teeny tiny car. And I started to edge my way up just because I didn't want to make the guy mad, you know. I was hoping he wouldn't reach down and pull something out, and, you know. And sure enough, these vehicles, they just, this, and by the way, this is completely irrelevant. I just want to tell you one of my stories. And they just began to part, and I literally had to reach over and pull my mirrors in on both sides to keep from scratching the edges of this truck. But sure enough, they pulled over. I pulled up to the a checkpoint, and one Israeli soldier was standing there, and he went. The next thing I know, the entire contingency of soldiers has gathered around my car, and I'm handing them my passport, and they're just looking at me like, and one boy, I'll never forget, he had bright red hair, he says, where are you going? And I said, because it was obvious I was a dumb American, you know. A little lost. I said, Jerusalem? He says, Via Nablus? It seemed like a straight line. He says, I said, is it safe? And they just all look at each other like, he's so stupid, let him go. So I went into the city, and actually it was once I got into the city that the city narrowed down. And it got really weird because I finally got to the southern end of the city, and I got about a mile south of the city, and there was a sign saying Jerusalem that way. I'm like, okay, hammer down, time to go. And the sun was beginning to set, and I didn't really want to be in the West Bank after sundown. But then I went another mile, and here was a sign pointing north saying Jerusalem this way. And I literally skidded to a stop and went, okay, this can't be good. So I went back, found the other sign, and I thought, you know what, Brent? You shouldn't be here. So I found the first east-west road I could find, and I made a beeline for the coast. And I probably went about 2 hours out of my way to wrap back around to Jerusalem. And again, that has no spiritual value whatsoever. The point is, this city, in ancient times and even in modern times, is a hot spot of contention.